Hello and welcome to this daily devotional podcast presented by Concord United Methodist Church. We hope that you'll find this time of scripture, reflection, and prayer a refreshing part of your daily walk with God. This series of devotionals follows our daily Bible reading plan, which coincides with our current sermon series, This Is Us, Genesis in Context. You can find the scripture readings for today by downloading our daily Bible reading plan. You can find that plan at concordunited.org/Bible. Finally, we invite you to share this podcast with family, friends, or anyone who might benefit from it. Today's devotional was written and presented by Roxana Jones. The scripture is Genesis chapters 45 and 46.
He stands tall and handsome. His robes are woven from the best of linen and fastened together with the finest of threads. Around his neck is a gold chain, and on his finger is a ring that signifies power and position. Kneeling on the floor in front of him are 11 Hebrew men. Their heads are bowed and their bodies shake as they're laid out in front of this tall, handsome man clothed in the robes of authority. With but one word, he could snuff out their lives forever. What would he do? There's been so much pain, so much history, and he'd wanted a new life. He'd wanted to forget his family and all of the bad times. He had named his sons to reflect his hurt and his pain. I wonder, did he think of that beautiful robe his father had given him? And did his jaw set and his teeth grind as he remembered the treachery of the brothers who had covered it with blood and sold him into slavery? Did Joseph's mind replay the events, or is it just too much to handle? Joseph is crying. Is he embarrassed that he's crying so loudly that even with closed doors, his servant can still hear him in the next room? His heart is pounding, and he's just sure that it's racing so fast and pounding so hard that even the men before him can hear the sound. The 11 hearts before him are beating as well. Perhaps it's because their hearts are thumping like the percussion section of an orchestra, warming up and waiting for the first downbeat of the conductor, that the sound of his is muted out. All it would take would be just one word. This man with such great authority could end their lives right here, right now. Through sobs, the man blurts, "I'm Joseph." Their darkest sin that they had buried in the blackest part of their past suddenly is exposed in the bright sunlight of an Egyptian afternoon. Now they are a paradox of emotion. It's the most wonderful news they've ever had. Their brother's alive. It's the most terrifying moment of their lives. Their brother is alive. It's confusing, exhilarating, mind-numbing, unexpected and unimaginable. Their brother lives. Joseph now has a choice. He can bring down the hammer of justice. He's earned it. Or he can extend the unmerited loving arms of grace. So here in this first book we call Holy Scripture, we are reminded again of a God who loves. God begins to stitch with a thread called grace. From here all the way to Revelation, we will see his hand weaving our redemption and making plans for a family reunion. A family that was broken when Adam and Eve sank their teeth into that tempting fruit and took that first bite. The story of Joseph and his brothers is better than any primetime mega blockbuster, and it doesn't stop when he reveals his identity. He tells them to go back home and get their daddy, and he warns them not to argue along the way. Joe knows his bros. I wonder how that trip back home went. Were there moments of deep, deafening silence? Did their arguing get so loud that it scared the animals who carried their load? Did they laugh? Did they cry? Did they wonder how in the world they would tell their papa that his years of pain and separation were about to end? How do you tell a father that his white hair and wrinkled brow are due to their hate-filled childish jealousy. How do you let him know that you're the ones responsible for all the years of his broken-hearted misery? At last, they're home. The looks on their faces must have revealed volumes. Without uttering a word, Jacob knows that his world is about to be turned upside down. Father, he's alive. Who? And with sweat pouring down their backs and lumps in their throats that feel like they're the size of a camel's hump, they blurt, Joseph! The old man's knees buckle at the weight of such news, but with rivers of tears that have held pinned up years of anguish, the old man begins to grasp the life-changing words. Did he sleep well that night? How could he? His son's alive. How do you handle that? And there's more. He wants us to move from this land that God has provided and promised to Abraham and to all of his heirs. If we leave, will we deny the promise? Will we ever set foot in it again? Are we to move to a place where people dress so differently? They don't even wear their hair the same. Are we to move to a land where people speak another language and worship gods we won't bow before? So many questions. But. And so, the next day, 11 brothers, their wives, their children, their grandchildren, and a frail old man pack up and move toward an unknown future. Can you even begin to imagine what that reunion was like? Joseph runs to Jacob, and with an embrace that seemed to last longer than those years in Potiphar's house, or the dark years in prison, or the time in Pharaoh's court interpreting dreams, the two hold each other. All the hurt, all the anger, all the lonely nights melt away in the arms of his father and that embrace. We learn so much from these two chapters in Genesis. A young, braggadocious kid has matured. He now stands before his family and will help the world through a catastrophic famine. We see the benevolence of a world leader who extends hospitality as he welcomes a foreign people with open arms. We see healing in an old man who had lost and buried hope. And we see repentance from brothers who had hidden their sin and guilt. Most of all, we see a heavenly Father who always keeps his word and clothes us in the robe stitched with grace. And the promise continues until I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And the stitches of redemption are sewn into the fabric of the white robes. And it all began in Genesis. Let us pray. Father, we cannot even begin to imagine the amazing grace that's been poured out on us. How many times have we turned our back, sold out our brothers in selfishness, and followed our own paths? Forgive us, Father. Show us how to live, and give us good sense and steady steps to follow. May the one who loved us all the way to the cross and then to the empty tomb be our guide for all the days of our journey. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's daily devotional. This podcast is a ministry of Concord United Methodist Church. For more information about our church, including worship times, mission opportunities, and study groups, please visit our website at concordunited.org. We also invite you to visit our YouTube channel, where you can see past worship services, including the current sermon series, This Is Us, Genesis in Context. Finally, we would be honored if you gave this podcast a positive rating so that others can find it and benefit from it.